every praise is to our God. Give the Lord a shout of praise this morning. Thank you, Lord. Woo. I love that song. And I love worshiping with God's people. Such a wonderful spirit of praise here this morning. Every praise is to our God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. We're continuing the prophetic word that I received a few weeks ago on keep looking forward. And what we've done is taken that word and put it against the word of God. And God is speaking to us as the church, as the ecclesia, at this time, this season, that we have got to keep our eyes on him. Can someone say amen? Amen, amen. I'm so thankful for each one of you and for each one of you that are listening today. And I believe God has a message for you in the mix of all of this. So, Father, thank you for your presence today. Thank you for your word today. Thank you, Father, that it's quick and it's powerful. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword to divide between the soul and the spirit, oh God. I thank you, Lord, that today, Lord, we receive exactly what you have for each person. Lord, we open up our hearts and we say, yes, Lord, pour it in. Let the spirit cut what needs to be cut. Let the spirit heal what needs to be healed. Let the spirit bring increase. Let the word do the work, Lord, that you've sent it to do in our lives. And someone agree with me by saying amen. 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 If you need this PowerPoint outline, you will be able to get it online later on today. But we just want to go to Hebrew chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. And I was with Apostle Leon this Monday, and this is the verse he taught on. So, you know, this is the verse that we've been teaching on. Our guest speaker came last Sunday. He taught on it. And here we are again because God has a message in the message. Amen? Amen. We're going to get it. Say, I'm going to get it, God. I'm going to get it. All right. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2 say, and you can read it with me if you would like, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Keep looking forward. Keep looking to Jesus. We have no idea when we're going to cross that finish line. We talked about this a few weeks ago. We have no idea when our race will be done. But God knows when we're going to go across that finish line. And after hearing the tragic news this week of Jackie Walorski and three other people that were killed in the car accident, it just reminded me we have no idea when we're going to cross that finish line. Jackie was a powerful woman of God. She's preached right here in this pulpit. And she received a prophetic word for our church when she was preaching. She said, I have never done this in my life, but the prophetic anointing is so strong here. She said, I've got to share this word that I hear the Lord speaking. And it was about the Lord was going to use us as an army. He was raising up our church in this territory to push back the powers of darkness and to destroy the works of the enemy, because that's the very purpose that Jesus Christ came to the earth, and that is what his church is supposed to be doing today. Somebody say amen. She was a friend of ours, and we loved Jackie, and our heart goes out to Dean. I don't know how many of you were in that service, but her husband is an amazing saxophone player, and he played saxophone that day, and just such a godly family, and she's going to be sorely missed. But today, we agree together as the body of Christ that the Lord has someone or many someones to fulfill the assignment that he had her here on earth for. Jackie's handing off the baton to someone else, and they're going to pick up that baton, and they're going to move forward in the mighty name of Jesus to continue to establish the kingdom of God in our government. In our government. Uh-oh. Okay, I'm going on. I could just start praying in tongues. Oh, Jesus. This is what intercessors do, you know. All right, we're going to go, and we're going to read through the prophetic word again. And so I just wanted to share it with you so you have an overview, and then we'll break it down where we left off. Keep looking forward. Don't look back at how things were, but look to me. I'm the author and finisher of your faith. I will tell you what I'm doing right now in your life and in my church. In this season, you have the wind of my spirit moving you forward. Don't look back. Keep moving forward. Keep your hands on the plow. Those in the kingdom of darkness are legislating their own laws and setting up their kingdom, but it will fail. It cannot stand and it cannot endure. Their imaginations are running wild, and their desires for wealth and power and pleasure have blinded them. They have gone mad. And that's exactly what I heard the Lord say. They call the evil works of darkness good and good evil. When you see their destruction, do not rejoice in their calamity, but rejoice in my faithfulness to save my righteous people out of the hands of the enemy and their unjust schemes. Soon they will receive their reward. When you come together, look to me for help and strength. The problems of life will continue as long as you are in this world, but rejoice that I have overcome the world. Open your heart to me and what I'm doing right now. You are free to worship me and live for me. You are my shining lights in the darkness. Be about your Father's business, for the night is coming when no man can work. My kingdom is established right here and right now. And my kingdom is advancing. Keep looking forward. And you know what? Jesus thought it was so important to remind us about Lot's wife that in Luke 17:32, he said, remember Lot's wife. And the story of Lot's wife, the historical account, was that she looked back. She had a yearning and attraction to what she had come from, to the world. Sodom represented the world, and it was an abomination in God's sight. He couldn't stand the sin that was going on there any longer, and he destroyed it. But she looked back. She was told not to look back. And I believe the Lord is cutting off some things from the past. And I believe that God wants us to know that we're to cut those things off. And even how we saw people in the past, God says, cut that off. He says, my children have matured. My children have grown. And if you keep looking back at how they were, you're not going to see them to what they are today. And even with our own children, you've got to see your children who they are today in the eyes of God and not look back at what they were. Somebody say amen. Don't hold someone in control and captivity by what they were last year. God is changing people. He's rearranging us. He's doing something new on the inside of each one of us. And we've got to have the eyes of God to see it spring forth in this season. Because God has a work for all of us to do. And we'll only do that as we are united together. And as we commit to see each other as citizens of the kingdom of God. With a task and a purpose and a destiny given by the Lord God Almighty. Jesus. Jesus. Keep looking forward. Let's go to the next slide. All right. I'm moving ahead too fast here. That's why I wanted the next slide. Okay, go back, please. Keep looking forward. Those in the kingdom of darkness, okay, that's where I'm at. Those in the kingdom of darkness are legislating their own laws, and I read that. So the next part is, they call evil, the evil works of darkness good, and good evil. When you see their destruction, do not rejoice in their calamity, but rejoice in my faithfulness to save my righteous people out of the hands of the enemy. And the last scripture we read was about Lot's wife, right? All right, I get to preaching. All right, so let's go on to living in present truth. In the New Testament covenant, we're in present truth now. We've shifted. There's been a reformation. The first reformation was when Jesus Christ came upon the earth. The next reformation was with Martin Luther King. Or Martin Luther. And then the next reformation was the apostolic prophetic reformation of the kingdom of God. There's been three major reformation, lots of movements to establish present truth here in this time and this season. And that's why it's important that we walk in present truth. And this isn't on the PowerPoint. So in the New Testament covenant, we have a personal relationship with our Heavenly Father. Because when Jesus came, he made a way for us to come to the throne of grace. Right? He said we have a better covenant. And we've got to recognize that we are all kings and priests in the kingdom of God. And we must recognize that there is neither male nor female in the body of Christ. When you get to heaven, you're not married. When you get to heaven, you're not neither male nor female. It says nothing about that. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. And this is what our life is being transformed, and we are being changed into the image of Jesus Christ. But we have to recognize that in this covenant, we are all kings and priests. Only the Levites in the Old Testament were priests under the Old Covenant. There was only one person that was allowed to go into the Holy of Holies. But we can, each one of us can go to the Holy of Holies. Each one of us can go to the throne of grace. Each one of us function as kings and priests in our spheres of authority. You have a spirit of authority. Tell your neighbor, you have a spirit of authority. And God's given us assignment to work in that sphere of authority. And so you bring your personal petitions before the Lord God Almighty. You take things to the throne of grace. And when we come together as the corporate body of Christ, we come together as the ecclesia. Jesus called it the ecclesia, the called out ones. We come together and we bring our petitions together to the throne of grace. And God shares his plans and his desires for the body of Christ. Thank you, Lord. So when Jesus came on the scene, he did things differently. And when he came on the scene, he actually started the first women's empowerment movement. He was the first to recognize women. You know, up until that time, the women were put off in another room. They weren't allowed to be with the men. But Jesus had the women. He invited them into his presence, and they sat at his feet and listened to his teaching. Come on, you're getting quiet, but everything shifted and changed when Jesus Christ came on the scene. And if it wouldn't have been for women and rich women that followed Jesus and supported his ministry and took care of all the needs of everything that was going on, well, there would have been someone else, but God used women to do that. Because God was totally changing. There are things that are changing is what I'm trying to get across here. And if we're not in present truth, the church doesn't move with it. When the Lord poured out the baptism of the Holy Spirit and he reestablished that in the body of Christ, there were people that fought that. And the old moves of God will fight the new moves of God and what God is doing right now. And we've got to be careful. We've got to keep our eyes on Jesus and not fight what God is doing right now in the church. He's doing a great work. 2 Peter 1:12 says we are to be established in present truth. And God is establishing his kingdom right here and right now. And he's raising up an army of the Lord. Hallelujah. And this is what I heard him say this morning. Every present truth believer must fall into rank and file and begin marching forward, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So we're going to continue our study this morning on the prophetic word. And here we are, this section, those in the kingdom of darkness are legislating their own laws. Do we have that slide, please? But it will fail. It cannot stand and it cannot endure. Their imaginations are running wild and their desires for wealth and power and pleasure have blinded them. They have gone mad. Okay, so when you go to the scripture, and I know this is there in the Message Bible, Romans 1, 26 to 32. This Bible was written, actually, Eugene Peterson started translating this in 1998, and I believe it's more of an interpretation of the scripture in modern language. Has anyone ever read the Message Bible? Eugene Peterson was a good friend of one of my professors. And so when he had finished the work, which he had been working on for years, we were required to buy one and read it. And that was a great way to sell books in the Bible college, right? But he was a good friend of Dr. Delron Shirley. And so Dr. Delron had us all buy one and read it. But I was just floored as I went back over this in the Message from Romans. I love the chapter in Romans, but it is so relevant to our culture today. So relevant. It says, refusing to know God, they soon didn't know how to be human either. Women didn't know how to be women. Were you as shocked as I was when they asked the Supreme Court justice that was getting ready to be set in if she could give a definition of a woman and she couldn't? Come on. Women didn't know how to be women, and men didn't know how to be men. Men have been feminized, and their masculinity has been so criticized that you see men don't even come to the rescue of people who are needing help. They just walk on by. It is very sad what we see in our culture, but this is so relevant. And then the next one is they become sexually confused. Have we ever seen so much sexual confusion within our culture? They abused and defiled one another, women with women, men with men. All lust, no love. And then they paid for it. Oh, how they paid for it. Emptied of God and love, godless and loveless wretches. And it goes on. Since they didn't bother to acknowledge God, which most of our government has stopped acknowledging God as they're legislating laws, since they didn't bother to acknowledge God, God quit bothering them and let them run loose. He turned them over to reprobate and debased minds. And then it says, and then all hell broke loose. If you watch the news, you see all hell breaking loose, especially in our big cities. Rampant evil. Grabbing and grasping, just going in, breaking into stores, stealing stuff, putting it in bags, and just going right back out and knowing they're not going to get in trouble for it. Amazing. I can't even compute that because it is so lawless. You see, the lawless one is coming. The Antichrist is going to come on the stage. The lawless one. He's lawless. And you see how the Antichrist spirit, Jesus said it was there in his days. Well, we can see it running rampant in our day and age right now. On the streets, all hell breaking loose, grasping, vicious backstabbing. They made life hell on earth with their envy. And I feel for people who live in cities where this is happening, because there are good citizens in these cities and they are not being protected. Those who could do something about it, they're not even bothering. Bickering, it says wanton killing. Bickering and cheating. I mean, beating up elderly people. Shooting people because they won't give you the password to their cell phone. It's just unbelievable. It's hard to even comprehend. I pray over our territory and bind up that Antichrist spirit every day to push it back. And that's the job of the church. This is our territory. We have authority in our territory. And so we need to steward the atmosphere and the spirit realm in our territory, because Jesus Christ assigned us here and gave us authority over principalities and powers in this territory. And as the corporate church, we gather together to take authority and to push back the powers of darkness. Jesus, help us get an understanding of what the purpose of the church is. It says, look at them. They're mean-spirited, venomous, forked-tongued God-bashers, bullies, swaggerers, insufferable windbags. When you listen to some of them talk, you just think they're just a windbag. Jesus, help us. Yeah. More than once, I hear Leonard during the day just prophesying back to the TV, just releasing the word of God, releasing God's judgment. Yes. We release it. Yeah, don't think you're nobody. You've got God in you. Come on, you have the Spirit of the living God in you. Don't let the devil make you think that you're nobody and you can't say anything, and what you say or do is not going to make a difference. It's going to make a difference. By faith, it makes a difference. And then it says they keep inventing new ways of wrecking lives. This is reading on in the message. Every time you turn around, there's a new law to wreck someone else's life. They ditch their parents when they get in the way. They're stupid, slimy, cruel, and cold-blooded. And it's not as if they don't know better. They know perfectly well they're spitting in God's face, and they don't care. And worse, they hand out prizes to those who do the worst things the best. Wow. When I read through that, I thought, Lord, you know, way back in the 90s, he's writing this, and you're giving him an interpretation of what it would look like in our day and age. God gave them up, the scripture says, to vile passions, and God gave them up to uncleanness. A reprobate mind is a depraved, unprincipled, or wicked person, a person rejected by God and beyond hope of salvation. And we have to recognize that, church, that there are people that go beyond the hope of any salvation. God has completely turned them over. God is always willing to forgive, but the person is so far gone, they have no desire for God, they have no desire for forgiveness, and they have no conscience. Their conscience has been completely seared, and we see that in our culture. For people to treat one another the way that they treat one another, you know that their conscience has been seared. You see, the conscience is that light. It's that candle that God lights. The spirit of the man, it's a candle for the Lord to light to speak to, the spirit of man. And we receive that revelation. Those candles have gone out, and God has completely turned them over. He's turned them over. They can just go do whatever they want to do because people have a free will. So they're beyond the hope of salvation. A debased mind is unapproved, rejected, worthless, reprobate, undiscerning, void of judgment, a mind to be abhorred by God and man. It's deceitful, false, mean, ignoble, one not bearing the mark, miserable, cast away, useless, inefficient. So life loses all its meaning without God. Romans 1:28 says, "And so since they did not see fit to acknowledge God or approve of him or consider him worth the knowing, God gave them over to a base and condemned minds to do things not proper or decent, but loathsome." Okay, we are on, they call the evil works of darkness good and good evil. They call the evil works of darkness good and good evil. When you see their destruction, this is from the prophetic word, "Do not rejoice in their calamity, but rejoice in my faithfulness to save my righteous people. Out of the hands of the enemy and their unjust schemes, soon they will receive their reward." When you take that to the scripture in Isaiah 5:20, the scripture says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness." Jameson Fawcett commentary says this. This is the fourth woe, and it is against those who confound the distinctions of right and wrong. God is saying woe to them. The definition I've pretty much already gone over for reprobate, which is also included in his commentary. But the woe, get this, is a divine pronouncement of judgment from God. And when God utters woe against evil men, he sets divine judgment in motion. Woe! To those, as a church, as the ecclesia of Jesus Christ, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Woe to those who make no distinctions between right and wrong. There is a distinction between right and wrong, church. Everyone, the word said, would be judged according to their work. And we're going to go to Revelation 22:12-15. And it says, "And behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outsider dogs," and I apologize, you know, it's like everyone wants to think their dog goes to heaven, but I checked this out in the Greek, and it's a dog. It says outsider dogs. So I'm not so sure the dogs are going to be in heaven. I want to believe they're going to be in heaven. If I get all my dogs back, all the dogs Leonard and I have had over the years, we're going to have a house, a mansion full of dogs. Hallelujah. Which I would love, but it says the dogs are outside, and sorcerers are outside, and sexually immoral, and murderers, and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. They're all outside. But everyone is judged according to their works. There are rewards that we will receive because of the work that we have done. We don't receive our salvation by works, we receive our salvation by grace, and that is preached a lot. But listen, church, you are going to be rewarded according to your works. God does not save you just so you can sit on your behind and do nothing and keep your mouth shut. God wants us to be active in the kingdom of God, to be in his word every day, to be the salt and light wherever we go. You should be ready to pray for someone wherever you go. You should be ready to prophesy to someone wherever you go. When we are out in the marketplace, God uses us as his ambassadors of the kingdom of God. We should just have a Sunday of testimonies of people sharing of what they've done out in the marketplace, because I know so many of you have reached out and had so many opportunities in the marketplace to be the light of the world and to share Jesus with somebody. We've got to remember there are souls that are going to hell. They are going to hell. And if you don't speak into their life, I guarantee you the devil will speak into their life. If you're not mentoring your children and discipling your children, I guarantee you the devil will get a hold of them. Come on, what do you think the movie stars and everybody online are doing? They're mentoring the children. Come on, we've got to reach out and be salt and light wherever God puts us to release the love of God and the truth of God. There is a right and wrong. There is a right and a wrong. There are not many genders. There is a male and a female. You know, the rest is confusion, and the scripture says confusion is from the devil. And Jesus came to destroy the devil's works. So Jesus' truth came to destroy the works of confusion in people's minds. Jesus, help us. Renew our minds. Renew our minds, Lord. Give us the tools that we need. So we always look to, you know, I grew up Pentecost, and I love that Jesus Christ is returning someday. Woo! Yes, hallelujah. Get caught up in the clouds to meet him. And I was reading Bishop's book this week on weapons of war. It's really a good book. And I just want to share from his book. It says this. Bishop is a wonderful writer. At some point, when God's saints are waging their battle as his army and are establishing his kingdom on earth, Jesus will arise from his seat at the right hand of the Father, and he will leap forth with his sword in his hand and give a shout that rings out to the ends of the universe and all over planet earth. He will shout, "Satan, your time is up. Angel of death, your power over my church is canceled and destroyed." He will have his archangels sound the trumpet of the Lord as he shouts to his church, "Delay shall not be 1 minute longer, for it is time for your final redemption and victory over death." And as he is shouting this, he will descend from heaven faster than the speed of light, bringing with him all the saints who have lost their bodies to death. As he comes into earth's atmosphere, he will shout again, and in a moment and the twinkling of an eye, all the bodies of those saints will ascend to meet the Lord and be joined with their spirit. They'll be joined with their spirit beings as their bodies become eternally indestructible. Their bodies will never see death again. Then those saints who have been warring against death will finally win when Christ suddenly changes their bodies from mortal to immortal. Every cell in every body will be changed from corruptible to incorruptible. These saints will meet the Lord in the air, join with the saints of all the ages, and receive their strategies for finalizing God's purposes for heaven and the earth. Hallelujah. See, Bishop doesn't believe we're just going to go to heaven and float around on clouds and be heavenly hobos. He believes God's going to have an assignment for us when we leave this earth. Hallelujah. But Bishop's books, I've got some ordered. Very good book. And I love the way he writes. And you should see him preach it too. He's quite something. He's 83 now. Is it 83 or 86? He just had a birthday. Who said? 88? Bishop turned 88? Oh my goodness. All right. Wow. Yes, yes. He is still on fire for God. And he said when he leaves this earth, he'll just keep on doing what he's doing. Because he's going to heaven to work. He's going to the war room. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So let's go on and we're going to finish this up. My kingdom is established in your midst. When you come together, look to me for help and strength. The problems of life will continue as long as you're in this world, but rejoice that I have overcome the world. Open your heart to me and what I'm doing right now. You are free to worship me and live for me. You are my shining lights in the darkness. Be about your Father's business, for the night is coming when no man can work. Keep looking forward, for my kingdom is advancing. The kingdom of God is advancing, and the Lord is raising up an army. And we must fall into rank and file. And God has positioned each one of us in the marketplace, in our families, in our churches, with an assignment to be about the Father's business. We have authority over the works of darkness. He's given us authority. We're the light of the world. There's no one else assigned to fulfill your God-given purpose and destiny. Tell your neighbor it's you. It's you. You can't get out of it. God is not going to leave you alone. And I pray he doesn't. I pray that he is just after you to accomplish what he wants you to do. Because you have to take a step. And if you'll just take a step, you'll see things just begin to fall into place. Let God. Let go and let God. We can think about all the reasons why we can't do something. But God wants us to keep looking to him. Because he's the God of the impossible, right? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, as we read through this information, I don't want to leave you in a push-down way because it is heavy. It is heavy. It's heavy when we look around at our world and those that are lost. But the Lord said, we're the light of the world. He said that as evil will wax worse and worse, but our light is going to shine brighter and brighter. So that means that as we see things get worse, we receive more grace, more light, more power to continue to go forward. God doesn't leave us unequipped. And so if you're feeling discouraged this morning, like, this is just too much for me. I see all of this going on around me and there are so many problems. Yes, there are. We're in the world. This is the devil's world. This is the devil's world. What do you expect from the devil? He brings chaos and destruction and death everywhere he goes. Jesus Christ came to give us life and life more abundantly. And so our life comes from Jesus Christ. One of these days, his kingdom is going to manifest and be established here on this earth. Bishop said he doesn't know if that's going to happen before Jesus comes or if Jesus is going to come, and then we're just going to keep working as God is establishing the kingdom. The scripture is not clear about exactly how that's going to happen, but we do know this. We've got to look to Jesus. We have got to keep our eyes on the author and the finisher of our faith. We have to be about our Father's business because we are citizens of the kingdom and we are called to establish the kingdom right here and right now. Somebody say amen. Amen. So in closing, I just want to share from Romans 11:33. And it says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. There is riches in the depths of the wisdom of God and the knowledge of God. And it is only by the mercy and the grace of God that he reveals himself to me. It's only by his grace and mercy that he reveals himself to you. And there are riches, riches that he has for us. The riches are not of this world. All the riches of this world are going to pass away. Everything you're working for, everything you're hoping to buy, everything you're looking at right now, you know what that is? You can't take it with you. Jackie didn't take anything with her. What she took with her was the work that she had done for God. That's what she took with her. Jesus, help us to realize that. There's a depth of riches that God has for us in his wisdom and his knowledge. These are the mysteries of God. You know, but the scripture says, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. This is a time that the Spirit of God is calling deep unto deep. Deep unto deep. I believe the last 2 years, God has just been digging out on the inside of us and preparing us as vessels. You see, he can't pour new wine into old wineskins. And so he's been preparing the church, his people, for receiving what he has for us in this kingdom. As he establishes his kingdom here on earth, we need that revelation, that understanding. We need the wisdom. We need the knowledge that comes only from God. We are totally reliant upon our Heavenly Father. Totally reliant upon him. We do not know what another day will hold. But we know that God holds our future. And so every day, he wants us to give it our all. Paul said, his ways are past finding out. When you go to the Greek, that means his ways cannot be traced. God leaves no prints and he leaves no footsteps behind him. And he doesn't go the same way often to make a track. Have you ever noticed God shows up in so many different ways? And when you expect him to show up this way, he'll show up that way. Have you noticed that? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In closing, I'm going to share from the Message Bible, Romans 11, 33 to 36. And it says this: have you ever come on anything quite like this extravagant generosity of God? This deep, deep wisdom? It's way over our heads. We'll never figure it out. Is there anyone around who can explain God? Anyone smart enough to tell him what to do? Anyone who has done him such a huge favor that God has to ask his advice? Everything comes from him. Everything happens through him. Everything ends up in him. Always glory, always praise. Yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You are so much greater than us, but you love us. And you meet with us right now, right here. Right now. You're meeting with us, Lord. You're speaking to people's souls. There's a longing in our souls, a longing for Jesus. Jesus sends out a message to come. Come. He says, come. Come, whoever is thirsty, come. If you desire this living water, come. We come to Jesus. If there's someone here today who needs to be saved and wants to give their heart to the Lord, today is your day. Our elders will be up here, and you can come and pray with them. Don't walk out of this place if Jesus Christ isn't your Lord and Savior. I encourage you. Or if you want to stand right now, we'll pray for you right now. if God is pulling on your heart, if there's anyone. And something else the Lord spoke to me today. You want us to pray for you, Sister Vicki? Thank you, Lord. Elder Sylvia, would you go back and stand with Vicki? We need the Lord and to be right in the right place with God. And you know, there is no shame in standing up and saying, I need to be in the right place with God today. I'm not going to walk out of this place knowing that I'm in sin. I'm not going to walk out of this place knowing that I have broken a commandment of the Lord. I'm not going to do it. You know, it takes courage to be able to stand and say, I'm going to live right from this day on. Remember, it doesn't matter what you did in the past. That's all behind us. Today is the day of salvation. So, Father, we thank you for Vicki. And Vicki, if you just say, Lord Jesus Christ, please forgive me for my sins. Please remove them from my heart and mind. And I thank you, Jesus. I believe in you. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died and rose again for me. And today, Lord, I ask you into my heart. And I thank you, Lord, that you receive me today. And I thank you, Lord, that my heart receives you. I ask you to light the candle of my spirit so that I can see you and I can see your ways. And thank you that I'm your daughter today. I'm a daughter of the Most High God. He's my Heavenly Father. And He loves me. And I love Him. In Jesus' name. Let's give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So in conclusion, our last slide, keep looking forward. Invest yourself in God's Word. Get out on Wednesday night. We have a great Bible study together. We're investing in the biblical foundations. And this time around, we're studying about living in God's grace. And it's a beautiful study. Put yourself in His presence through prayer, worship, and serving His people. That's how you get in His presence. You know, Leonard always says, we love to worship. We love to get before the Lord. And after we've met with the Lord always has something for us to do. A lot of people like to just meet with the Lord and never get up and do anything. But God has something for each one of us to do. Every day, tell your neighbor, every day. Every day, you don't get a day off in the kingdom of God. And usually when you're feeling the worst is when God will set you up. Or you're tired or something. Right there's the opportunity. And you know what? At River of Life, our two words, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. So this morning, the last thing is follow God's commands. And the Lord will lead you. So Father, we thank you for this word that's gone forth. Lord, I pray that you continue to teach us. You continue to water us. Lord, that you continue to reveal yourself to us and the depths of the riches of your word. Lord, we want to dig deep in this season, deep, deep, deep in the things of God. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.